and welcome to, I have no idea what episode number this is.
29?
Season 2, episode 9?
I think so.
Is it really only episode 9?
Is it?
Oh boy.
Are you saying that we've fallen down on the job a little bit?
Episode something.
Episode less than we had expected. Oh no, it's actually 210.
Yeah, episode 10 of In Local Parents. Oh, maybe I should say the name of this podcast.
Should we start over?
No.
Okay.
This is a podcast about parenting and lawyering and not getting enough sleep. Not in that order.
and losing your voice.
I'm Karen Vladek.
I'm the declining voice of Steve Vladek.
Oh my God, Steve, you sound like a toad.
Well, listen, at least the awesome interview that is the dominant source of this episode.
Yeah.
I was in normal shape for.
Every time I want to quit this podcast, we have an interview with someone like Pamela, and then I'm like, damn it. I love her. And why would I get an opportunity to spend like 45 minutes talking about parenting and life and work with her but for this podcast?
True. I don't know that we'd be able to be like, hey, you want to just
hop on a Zoom? Yeah. I mean, we could in real life, but not on a Zoom. So,
and also she's in DC and we're here.
Exactly.
But yeah, so we have this really cool interview coming up with CNN's Pamela Brown, which I thought was a great chat. We didn't really have the time or energy to record this, but we also couldn't justify sitting on Pamela's interview any longer.
Yeah.
So here we are. It's Thursday night, March 31st. April Fool's is around the corner.
Our kids are talking about what they're going to do for April Fool's Day. I don't think they quite grasp the concept.
I think they can fool us by sleeping in.
I said, why don't you guys pretend that you're going to sleep till 7, but then actually do it? Our 3-year-old has been, for no reason.
No reason.
Waking up at like just absurd times. Like this morning she woke up at 4:41. Why? Who knows?
Yesterday it was 5:05.
It's like ridiculous. She sits in her room, but the problem is that she's like throwing books, turning on the lights, stomping everywhere. And it's just, so this morning I went up and I gave them each like a yogurt smoothie. And I said, I do not want to see you for 1 hour. And it actually worked. I was like, I think I scared them so badly that they actually just stayed in their rooms. And they stayed together. Like I let Sydney go into Maddie's room and they stayed together. And so it kind of worked out. But I'm
not looking forward to tomorrow morning when it's my turn.
So tired.
Yes.
Like tonight at bedtime, Maddie was like, can we talk a little bit longer? And I said, honey, I really wish that we could, but I'm so tired that I have nothing more to say.
Yeah.
And I was just, and now here I am recording a podcast talking more.
Well, not for much longer.
Steve, how are you?
Sick?
Yeah. You've like been sick for a month.
Different thing. Like I thought so that this, right. I avoided the stomach bug that went through the house,
that's
which
true.
Was, I think the subject of our last episode.
That's oh my gosh. Yes.
And then I got a little sick and then it seemed to go away and then it came back.
Yeah. But you're like really sick. You had a coughing fit in Fed courts today.
It was pretty awkward. First time in my career, I've had like a coughing fit in the middle of class.
Were you teaching in person?
Yeah. Hans versus Louisiana.
And what did you do? How did you recover?
I said, talk amongst yourselves. And it took about 20 seconds or so. And then I got it together. Awkward.
Brutal.
Yes.
Well, I'm sorry about that.
It's okay. Almost done with the book.
I know. Somebody asked me today, how's Steve doing with the writing? And I said, well, in the 16 years that we've been together, it's the first book that, or the first academic project that he will be certainly getting in on time.
Early.
I know. You've been so excited. You've just been like writing at every opportunity.
I'm also at the point, like I'm so close to being done at this point that like, I just, you know, I just sort of want to like finish.
You've been working so hard.
Yeah. Well, that's what we do.
I mean, it's awesome.
You've been working hard.
I've been working really, really hard. I've been working extremely hard. I had a candidate today accept an offer. Really Woo! Excited for her.
Congratulations.
I had another candidate today get 2 offers today.
What?
That was awesome.
So I guess what you're saying is if this whole law professor thing doesn't work out, you can hook me up.
I can hook you up with a job?
Yeah.
You're not that placeable.
Yeah. No marketable skills of any kind.
You don't have a book.
No book of business.
You're very senior.
Very senior. That's harsh. That's way harsh, Ty.
Maybe get you an in-house job. Maybe.
Maybe.
Actually, definitely that'd be like the last kind of job I could get you. That'd be so funny though if I like did a submission for you. And I'm like, I'm writing today to submit the candidacy of Stephen Aplotic. Oh boy. Things have really gone off the rails here.
Have they? Is this different from any of our normal episodes?
I did a panel today about social media use.
For the law school.
Yeah, for UT. It was fun. Cool. It was interesting to hear like the different perspectives. Some of the people on the panel said, you know, you got to have all of your personal social media separate from your work social media. And
really?
Like, yeah, it was almost like a half and half.
My bad.
And then Kendall Hanks and Kate Lincoln Goldfitch were like, well, really? You could just like also just be yourself. And so I definitely fell in that camp. I was the moderator. And then I prepped for another panel that I'm going to be on next week with David Latt and some other folks at the Women's Power Summit. I'm having like a very Julia Childs in Pretty Woman moment about this.
Julia Roberts.
Who did I say? Julia Childs?
Yes.
Oh my God. That's where my brain
and
is.
And by the way, Julia Childs, not a person, Julia Child, chef.
There's no S at the end of her name?
No. Michelle Childs, the judge from South Carolina. She has an S in her name.
All right. I'm having a Julia Roberts in Pretty Woman
moment. There you go.
Where she doesn't get served in the store and then goes back and says, big mistake. Huge. So next
didn't
week.
Didn't I drop that line at some point in the last couple of weeks?
Yeah. About something else. You love that line. Mm-hmm. The next week I'm on this panel at the Women's Power Summit, which is this big biannual legal conference for women. It's like a lot of law firm partners. And when we moved to Austin 6 years ago, it's always in Austin. When we moved to Austin 6 years ago, I tried to get an invitation and like, basically I didn't make the cut. Like I wasn't fancy enough to be able to go. And now 6 years later, I'm on a panel. So I'm like, now you want me there.
Except that they didn't make a mistake because you're there. It's like if Julia Roberts had shopped at the store the second time.
She doesn't buy anything from the store.
No, she goes to a competitor.
Well, there's no competitor for this event.
Well, there you go.
I guess I could have said, no, I'm too busy now.
No, I'm too big for,
I'm too big for this panel.
You're beneath me.
Anyway, whatever. It's a hybrid version of it. Okay, Steve, you and your plot holes. He's giving me a look like, whoops.
I'm sorry. Which one of us referred to as the millennial falcon in earlier conversation?
Who cares?
Star Wars nerds care.
Millennium Falcon.
There you go.
Anyway, if you're going to be at the Women's Power Summit, hit me up.
Indeed. What else? We went to a banquet.
Oh yeah, we went to the Texas Law Review 100th anniversary, yeah, the centennial dinner banquet.
It was my first, like, I mean, yes, we've been in airports around a lot of people, but it was my first like social gathering with 1,000 of my closest friends since the before times.
It was really, really fun. Yes. Actually.
Yes. And I got to meet the family of the late Charles Allen Wright, whose chair I hold, which was really cool. I had not met them before. So
yeah, it was great.
Yep.
It was very fun. We saw lots of students, lots of friends. Mm-hmm. It was like worlds colliding
for me.
Yeah.
Right?
It was really
current fun students, former students, colleagues, judges. Uh-huh. It was cool. And also in vintage Karen and Steven style, Karen went to the after party and I went home.
Yeah. One of us had to go home to relieve the babysitter. Mm-hmm. And we
unanimously agreed it was me.
I was like, I think that should be you.
I agreed. I went home.
I didn't stay at the after party that late.
No, but I think it fits.
Yeah, it was funny. But no, it was overall really, really fun. Yep. And I got nothing else.
All right.
Should we just get to Pamela?
Let's get to Pamela. So coming up, our interview with Pamela Brown. And we'll be back on the flip side to, you know, wrap it up. All right. Well, we are really excited to welcome Pamela Brown to In Loco Parents. Pamela, welcome.
Thank you. Very excited to be here with you guys.
We're excited to have you. So Pamela is an anchor and the senior Washington correspondent for CNN, for which she's worked since 2013. She currently anchors the weekend primetime edition of CNN Newsroom based in D.C. Most recently before that, Pamela covered President Donald Trump and his administration for all of the network's programs and platforms as the senior White House correspondent. And she previously served as the network's Justice and Supreme Court correspondent, covering law enforcement, national security, and the U.S. Supreme Court, which is how we met and got to know each other.
And Pamela's currently enrolled in the Master of Studies in Law program at GW Law School in DC, a program designed for non-lawyers interested in legal issues and or whose jobs are increasingly law adjacent. So, Pamela, hello. Thank you for taking the time from your double busy, crazy, triple busy schedule.
Honestly, Steve, anything for you. Anything for you. And also, I owe you, because one of the books I have for my classes is a book that you helped write on national security law. So it's like, Pamela, I really owe you a lot, especially right now, because that's so relevant with everything I'm covering.
Pamela, do you need to pump his ego as we get going?
I know.
Oh my God, look at it. He's like, look at me. I'm so famous.
Listen, the last three episodes have been you and your friends, Karen. So can I think it's okay that I get a little bit of love on the podcast. All right. So Pamela, we like to start with the same question, which is, to the extent that you're willing, tell us about your kids.
I love that question. Every parent loves to talk about their kids, right? So, I have two kids. One is, his name is Benedict. We call him Benny, and he is almost four. And then I have a daughter who is two named Vivian. We call her Vivi. And they're amazing. They're in preschool right now. And I'm having a blast with them. I mean, they're just so much fun. They say the most hilarious things every day that, like, you know, but then also just like so sweet too. You know, like last night I was putting my son to bed and he just looked at me and he goes, "Mommy, I love you." And it's just like, it makes your heart melt. So
it does.
They're the loves of my life, my number one priority. I know I have a lot going on, as you mentioned, but they are everything to me. So, it's Vivi and Benny.
Benny's almost exactly the same age as I think our younger daughter, Sydney.
Is that right?
Yeah. I was going to say, Pamela, I remember we were pregnant at like the exact same time. And it was right during like peak, just 2018 Trump administration insanity. Yeah. And I remember being like, I cannot believe that Pamela has to go on air, like in the state that I'm doing like air quotes, we, because we were both pregnant at the same time we're in. Can you give listeners a sense of what it was like covering the Trump administration and also then having to do it at the same time as being pregnant?
Yeah, I actually had both of my babies while covering the Trump administration, which is insanity. I think I'm like masochistic or something. I don't know. I'm like starting to wonder about myself. I became pregnant with Benny, and then they asked me after I was pregnant, they asked me to cover the White House. So like kudos, you know, like I was all for it. And like kudos to CNN too for just being like, hey, we want you to go and we want you to cover this White House. Like, we know you're pregnant. We know you're going to be out for 4 months on maternity leave. But like, so it was really a cool opportunity. And honestly, my first pregnancy was pretty easy for the most part. Mm-hmm. The one thing I will say is I totally had pregnancy brain. So like when I had to like cover the briefings and ask questions, like sometimes I was like, okay, come on, brain, let's get going here. You got to be sharp. Like you're in the White House briefing. Come on. But for the most part, I mean, it was definitely chaotic covering the Trump White House. That's for sure. And like, it just was all consuming. And so, fortunately the first pregnancy was not difficult. So, you know, I was able, I like kind of at times, like, you know, you forget you're pregnant because you're just so busy working. Right. And then I gave birth to Benny, and then about 10 months later, I became pregnant with Vivi. And that was really tough because I was super sick with her and, just, you know, in the White House, we work in these little tiny booths in the basement at CNN. Each network has their own little booth. Ours is in the basement. And like, you're just crowded in there with other people. And like, every day I would go to work feeling miserable, you know, and I'd have to be there for like 10 hours. And in the early stages, you know, I didn't want to say anything yet. Yeah. So, and it was such a demanding job because it's just all consuming. Like I said, like the moment you wake up to the moment you went to bed, you were constantly like looking at Twitter and calling sources and, you know, trying to get reporting and, so I don't know how I survived that time, but I somehow did. You know, every day I was just telling myself, like, Pam, just survive the day. Like, just get through this day. Like, this is your goal. So it was quite the experience having two babies covering the Trump administration. But you know what? I did it somehow.
You did it and you crushed it and you were gorgeous and brilliant and you did all the things. So I'm impressed. And I have like a visceral reaction because I was also like so sick during both my pregnancies and my girls. The idea of like being in a basement cubicle at the White House, like right now I can like feel you there. It's so awful.
It actually is as awful as you probably are imagining.
So
what you're saying is we don't do nearly enough to appreciate the impositions that pregnancy itself imposes on women in the workplace.
Yeah.
Yes.
Everyone can understand. It's rough, man. But, you know, women are amazing and we do it. And, you know, we get the job done, too. So
I can't resist, though, asking a bit about the sort of the profession, the substantive side of that, which is, I mean, right. So, you know, you became CNN's White House correspondent during the Trump administration. Did you get a sense, especially from maybe some of your colleagues who had also covered parts of the Obama administration, of just how different that job was?
Yeah. I mean, it was night and day different because Jim Acosta worked in the Obama administration, covered the Obama administration and then the Trump administration. And yeah, I mean, it was like, it was literally night and day difference. I mean, it was a different game, you know? Obviously the Trump administration was like, when I was preparing to cover it, I remember asking a colleague, like, what do you think I need to be doing? What book should I be reading before I cover the Trump White House? Like, what do I need to be doing? He was like, honestly, Pamela, like there is no book you can read right now because you're the playbook for covering this White House. It is just so different and unusual. All the norms were thrown out the window. And you can have your own opinion on that, obviously. But as journalists, we really had to be sort of agile and expect the unexpected every single day. Like you just never knew what was going to be thrown at you.
Did you have any favorite trips while you were covering the White House?
Yes, I did. So my trip to Japan was amazing. I'd never been to Japan. I've always wanted to go. And this is actually a funny story. So I, speaking of like being pregnant and everything, I took a pregnancy test before I went to Japan just to make sure. I was like, let me just like make sure before I go all the way over to Japan, you know, came back negative. So go to Japan, had the most like amazing experience. Like I just love the culture there, the people, the food, everything is just so wonderful. And it actually, in terms of like workload, was pretty, wasn't too exhausting or demanding. So that was kind of nice too, because I had more time to like enjoy Japan. So it was just a lovely trip. And then I got back and I took another pregnancy test and it came back positive. So my husband like was very skeptical. Wait a second, what? It was a beautiful trip. And that's one of the highlights for any White House correspondent is cover like going on these foreign trips. I mean, that is the highlight. Cause a lot of it is really, it's grueling work, you know, long, long hours. And you're sitting, like I said, in the basement cubicle all day, you know, and, it's a privilege to cover the White House, but it's a lot of work. And these foreign trips are just, so amazing. So I would definitely say Japan. And then, after that, I love Ireland. I went to Ireland as well, but I was kind of nauseous with my first kid pregnant, so I couldn't quite enjoy it as much as I wanted to. But yeah,
that's Karen's story about our Alaska cruise.
Oh really?
Oh my god! I literally just like we did one activity, and then I would just sleep the whole rest of the time. I'd be rocked gently by the boat. Yeah.
And then like pass out for the rest
and
of the day.
And then pass out. Yeah. So Pamela, I want to talk a little bit about your program at GW. Sure. So what prompted you to pursue this program? Obviously you're already doing like a million things. Why did you say, let me go get this sort of like quasi law interest? And then what has surprised you the most so far about your law school experience?
Yeah. So, I would say I've always kind of had this pull, like I wanted to go to law school. And I just got, you know, right after college, I had this great job in journalism. And so I sort of got swept up in that. And I never, obviously went to law school, and but it's like something that's like pulled at me because I love covering the law. I just find it, I find the law just so interesting. Like out of all the things I cover as a journalist, I'm most drawn to covering legal issues. And I now have a schedule where, you know, I work weekends, so I have 2 days off during the week. And so I was like Googling, like maybe I could like do a maybe there's like some program out there where I could take classes on my off days, you know, and I found this program at GW, and it literally is like perfect for what I was looking for. It says in the description, it's for like people like journalists who have to talk about the law, report on the law in their work, but they don't necessarily want to be lawyers. So hey, this is exactly what I want to do. And the more I looked into it, the more I realized what a perfect fit it was, because you get to design your own schedule. So I get to pick the classes that I think are the most relevant for what I cover as a journalist.
Right.
And they've been really, really great in working with me, because there have been times where I've had to, you know, like, for example, this week, I had to work and I couldn't go to class. And so they've been very accommodating in that way to make sure that I don't get behind, and that they provide recordings of the class if I have to miss it. But it's pretty, pretty funny, like going into class now with my backpack and like sitting in class with all the JD students. Like,
is it classes with the regular GW students?
Yeah. I'm like one of the only MSL students, I think, in my classes.
Okay.
So it's mainly JD students.
Do you tell them about the time that you got to interview Jim Obergefell on the steps of the Supreme Court right after Obergefell was decided?
But that was still to this day my biggest moment, I think, as a journalist.
I have
the video of, I mean, because I was with you for that, and I have the video of you holding when he's talking to Obama on the phone, right?
Yeah, I'll never forget that when he's talking. I remember he was standing there right after the Supreme Court legalized same-sex marriage, and his friend was like, "Obama's about to call," and I was like, "Wait, can we have this conversation live?" So I made him put it on speakerphone.
Yep.
I put the mic up, and sure enough, we carried it live. That historic conversation between Obergefell and Obama. I still think about that, and what a surreal moment that was. So yeah, that hasn't come up in class yet. I try to like be incognito. Like, I don't think anyone knows who I am, nor do they care, probably.
Oh, really? I was going to ask, like, are people like, oh, asking you about CNN and all that stuff? Do you just like walk in and you're like, whatever, they don't know?
Yeah, I don't think they even, honestly, I don't think they know. And if they did, I don't think they'd care, because I just, like, I'm wearing a mask and I go by my married name too. Like, I'm just like another student. Like, I'm just another, you know, another student talking about the cases. I don't think anyone knows.
What has anything surprised you about your time in the program so far?
I think what surprised me is how much I didn't know. Like, I thought that I had a pretty good foundation of you know, legal issues and understanding them and having a grasp of them, but being in these courses, like, for example, like First Amendment, free speech, and freedom of the press, like I was going into that class thinking I knew a lot, and yet I'm learning so much every day. It's so enriching. So I'm so thankful that I'm taking these classes, because I walk out of them and I'm so much more knowledgeable and a better journalist as a result. And it's so applicable to what I'm covering, like, you know, like the Brandenburg case and January 6th and incitement and how that applies. And, you know, just, it's like, so all of my classes are directly related to what I'm covering as a journalist right now. And it's just great.
That's so cool.
What a, like, an amazing way to do law school, right? Yeah. To like not have to take like property and all this stuff. You know what I mean? Like, you just be like, oh, I want to go take a First Amendment class. It sounds amazing. And then
exactly.
It's like, oh, and it's like so genuinely enriching. I love that.
Yeah, totally. That's like, it's such a great program in that way. And also, like, I'm there, like, my purpose is just to learn. Like, I don't need to be top of the class and, like, you know, have straight A's. I mean, I work hard and I try to do my best, but like the pressure I have is just to learn and to make the most out of this experience.
It's right. You've got a job.
Wait, are you actually going to like sit for the exams?
Oh yeah. I have to sit for the exams. I'm already like freaking out about that. And I may like ask you guys for advice, because my exams start next month and I'm like, oh my God, what do I do? Do I need to have like a study group? Do I need to create an outline? What do I do? Amazing. You know, I'm like already feeling that stress. I haven't apparently, in so long.
Apparently, I know the authors of one of your books, so we can chat.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Steve, I already have it in the back of my mind. Why do you think I'm doing your podcast? No, I'm just kidding.
we're recording that tomorrow. So this is actually, this is a good segue. So, I mean, you've been doing, as you said, you've been doing this program on your days off. And so you've still been doing your day job, right, all through, you know, these really sort of horrifying scenes and stories coming out of Ukraine. Can you talk a bit about what it's been like to be at the anchor desk over the past month as, you know, the war and the humanitarian crisis it's precipitated has unfolded? I mean, how is it to be where you are and in your job right while this is happening?
You know, it's been, in one respect, I feel like it's the most important time for me as a journalist. I mean, this is, and being at CNN too, because we cover international stories like no one else can. And it's just true. I mean, look at our reporters on the ground, Clarissa Ward and Ivan Watson and Sam Kiley. And so it's a privilege to have a show and a platform to showcase these important stories in Ukraine. But at the same time, it is draining. I mean, it's just so awful and horrific, and you just can't believe the amount of suffering these people are going through, and you're just like absorbing it the whole time. You know, when I anchor, I really try to connect and like focus and home in on every single like person that's being interviewed and every story and really try to feel it. I just think that's so important. And at the end of a 4-hour show, like Saturdays I've been doing 4 hours, I'm exhausted. I just feel mentally and emotionally drained. And at the same time, I like have no, you know, I don't feel sorry for myself because literally people are going through unfathomable pain and suffering. And you have war correspondents, like I mentioned, Clarissa Ward and others who are there. I don't know how they're doing their job. I mean, like, I worry about them every day and their safety. And are they like, where do they sleep? Do they get, are they able to eat, you know? So yeah, it's been tough, but like not nearly as tough as what it could be.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you think I don't know who I mean by we, I guess CNN, but also just like the US media in general is doing it, covering the story.
I think we've been doing a phenomenal job. Maybe I'm biased.
I mean, that's my sense too. I mean, I think, you know, yeah. I've been really, heartened's not the right word. I've been really pleased by like how much sort of the domestic political rat race has really been pushed aside, yeah, right, for really pretty much wall-to-wall coverage of what I think is clearly a much bigger story.
100%. And I just think it puts all that in perspective too, all the silliness, right? All the silly political stuff. It's like this, like times like this puts that into perspective of how ridiculous it can be. And this is what really matters. This is what counts. People are losing their lives. There is a sovereign burgeoning democracy that is just being decimated by Russians right now in an unprovoked war. I mean, you know, that's like real life. And it's horrifying. And I just think, it actually has been nice to have a break from all the, you know, domestic politics and everything that comes along with that.
Mm-hmm. All right. I think the Debbie Downer portion, I think is over. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah, no, but I've loved it. And I think you've done a really good job, Pamela, too, about also engaging with folks on your social media about, you know, reaching out to you and recognizing, mm-hmm, that like there's this particular has such a like human aspect to the reporting. So I've noticed that.
I couldn't believe how many people I was talking to my team at the beginning of this, like right when the invasion happened. I was like, we were just brainstorming ideas for the show. One of my producers was like, maybe we should do like, you know, you should tweet out and ask viewers if they want to send in questions. I was like, yeah, that's a great idea, because I know everyone's watching this and having so many questions, and we can't possibly be arrogant enough to think we're answering everyone's questions, right? Like, why not have people write in? And I cannot believe the response that we have received. It's been incredible. So many people, mm-hmm, just have been writing in, emailing me and tweeting me and sending me messages with questions. And a lot of people wanting to know how they can help. And I mean, it's been incredible to see that kind of outpouring from our viewers. And it clearly just shows that people just, they want answers. They want more clarity. And sometimes you can't give them the answers, obviously, but this is something that people are really, really focused on, even more so. Like when I did a call for questions on COVID, now given I did it like when I came back from maternity leave, so it was like, you know, 6 months into COVID, but I did not get the same kind of response as I have now with this war. The questions and people reaching out.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, thank you for doing that. I think it's really, really helpful for people to have a place to go and be able to discuss it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think shifting gears back a little bit to parenting, you know,
all right. We also do that on this podcast.
Yeah,
sometimes.
We do that a little bit on this podcast. First of all, I should say you are our first non-lawyer who we've ever had on the podcast. So you get to wear that honorary hat. But so one of the things that we like to discuss a lot is trying to be honest and transparent about how Steve and I juggle two kids and very busy careers. And you also obviously have two kids and super demanding jobs. So I know it's kind of trite to say, and I actually don't think it's possible to do it all, but like, how do you handle just the chaos of your job plus these kids?
Yeah. So I think first and foremost, you just have to accept it's going to be messy, you know, and it perfection's out the window. You have to have, I try to have self-compassion and grace. No, I'm not going to be perfect. I'm just going to give it my all and do the best I can. And I think it's also like, yes, my job is extremely important, but like my kids, you know, they are my priority every single day. And so I try to make sure that when I get home from work and I put my phone away, I'm not perfect at it, but I try.
It's hard.
My phone away so that I'm like totally engaged with them and focused on them.
Yeah.
And just giving them I think the best thing you can do for a kid, my personal view, is just like your full presence and like your full focus, you know? So that's how I try to do it. I put my phone away and I just try to focus on them and have fun with them and like be in the moment. And sometimes it can be a challenge, you know, if I have a lot on my mind from work, and covering this war has obviously been really heavy and weighing on me, but that's what I try to do. And just, it doesn't always look great, you know, and I have a wonderful husband who's a wonderful partner, in parenting. So that helps, because there are times where he's got to take more of the parenting load. Yes. But, yeah, you know, it's just, it's not pretty always. I think the hardest part is like when I'm really tired, you know, parenting while you're really tired is just so hard.
Yes.
I just don't have the same capacity and the same kind of patience that I do when I'm not. So that can be rough, like on the weekends too, where weekends are my busiest time because those are my shows. And like, I get home super late and I'm up early. And so it can sometimes be tough, you know, and they're at the ages 2 and almost 4 where they're very, you know, they want mom all the time, and they also like to do things for attention, and, you know, trying to manage that. And because there's no like handbook for parenting, it's, and every child is different and unique, so you're just like learning as you go along. I just try to do the best I can. That's all I can say.
I know, that's it. And I tweeted about this the other day that like, it's still, even 6+ years into parenting, our oldest one, it is baffling to me that they just let you like walk out of the hospital.
I know.
You know what I mean? They're just like, here's your baby, and you just leave. And you're like, wait, what? What do I do?
Like, there's no like raising a human being. And then you're like, holy crap, they're like entrusting me with this.
Right? I know, totally. I love that.
True. But I mean, it's true. You know, like there have been times when like parenting while juggling the job, that's been tough. But then adding on law school on top of it has been like another dimension. So I think you guys would appreciate this. Like my son is also sometimes taking the course with me, because like, I'll have to watch a recording of a class maybe I missed.
Yeah.
And but he wants to like be with me. So I'm like, all right, Benny, you're going to have to watch the national security law course. And he'll like just lay with me and watch it with me.
Aww, I love that.
Maddie sometimes has to teach with me.
Oh, yeah. Really? Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever you can do to like kind of do both, kill two birds with one stone,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
I love that piece about connection. I actually think that that's something that took me way too long to understand about parenting, that actually like when my kids are acting up, it really is about them just seeking out that connection.
Exactly.
And like when you can connect with your kids, everybody is calmer.
Oh my God. You know what? I think I actually learned this from you. Dr. Becky?
Dr. Becky. I love Dr. Becky.
Seriously, like she changed my life because of you. You actually put on Instagram about Dr. Becky. And so I was like, hey, Dr. Becky. So I looked at Dr. Becky and she's amazing. So now when my son throws a fit, I'm like, I just try to be patient. I'm like, you're having some really big feelings right now. It's okay to feel that way. And I like, you know.
So Steve, like acceptance of the feelings does not come naturally to Steve Wladek. And he's so funny because he's like, you're having some really big feelings now, aren't you? It's so funny to see him try to do this like connective thing.
Oh my God. Can you please record that and put it on the podcast at some
point? That's what we should talk about, Steve.
I appreciate that you are mocking me for my good faith effort to follow the parenting advice that you want me to follow. I think that's really going to encourage me to do it more in the future.
I think you're doing great. You just have to keep practicing. But yeah,
doing it. I mean,
exactly. You're trying.
Yeah, exactly. The fact that you're trying, that's key.
100%. Well, Dr. Becky, yes. Love it. Love her.
Okay. On that note. So Pamela, we like to end our show by asking our guest for an example of a recent work win and or parenting fail. One or the other or both. Does anything come to mind?
A work win or a parenting fail. I've got plenty of parenting fails. So
that's usually where we are.
Let me go there first. I had one this morning. I had a parenting fail this morning. So I had a cold recently and I've been having cough drops. My son's like obsessed with cough drops. Like he thinks, I guess, because mom has cough drops, he wants them. So I gave him a cough. He was asking this morning, I gave him a cough drop. And then my daughter saw that and she wanted a cough. Then she wanted it, but she's still too young. You know, I still don't trust her with one. And so she threw the biggest fit because I gave him one and not her one. So then, do you know what I did? I was such a weasel. I took the vitamins and I put them in the same cabinet as the cough drops.
Yes.
And then pulled out the vitamins and gave it to her. So she thought it was the same. Like she thought that's the same thing.
What's the fail there?
Waiting for the fail.
Yeah, waiting for the fail.
No, but I turned into a win. That's the beauty of it. I went in. Yes. And you can turn your failure into a win.
Yeah, by tricking your kids, 100%. Exactly. Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that, right?
The art of deception. Parenting, : the art of deception.
All about the deception.
Oh, I think we might have an episode title.
I like that. The art of deception. That's perfect. I have many other stories like that, but I won't waste your time.
Amazing. Well, Pamela, where do you like people to follow you on social? Obviously, they can watch your show, which airs.
So it's my hours have been a little different, but during the war so far, it's been 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern time on Saturdays and 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern time on Sundays.
Awesome.
And normal times, it's 6 to 9 Saturdays and Sundays Eastern time. And then on social, just like Twitter, at Pamela Brown CNN. And I keep my messages open so that people can shoot me a message if they want. I love hearing from people. Cool. Even I don't, you know, I get all kinds of messages and that's fine, you know,
only
it's fine. You learn to filter through them. So and then also Instagram, same handle at Pamela Brown CNN. I do check my messages. I do read them. So, love to hear from people.
Well, Pamela, you are such a delight. We love you. Thank you so much.
I love you guys. Can you please come back to DC? We miss you.
No, our Austin life is too easy.
I know.
I love it.
I bet it's amazing. Pamela,
the you, me, and Elizabeth Wydra on the steps of the Supreme Court on that morning in June 2015 is really one of my favorite memories of my life.
Of all time. Yeah. I don't think anything will ever top that. I really don't. I really don't. It was incredible. And I feel like my bond with you, Steve Laddick, was cemented in that moment.
Oh, well, if that means that we're able to dragoon you onto our podcast 7 years later.
Exactly. Exactly. So, and don't worry, I'm totally going to be hitting you up after this on my
please do.
Prepare. Cause
all right. So guys, thank you, Pamela Brown, for joining us. We really appreciate it. And folks, follow Pamela on CNN, follow her on Twitter, follow her on Instagram, and good luck with GW.
Thank you.
I think I like told you how awesome Pamela was, but I'm not sure you fully appreciated it until like we actually talked to her.
It was really cute. I sent her a message after and I said, Pamela, Steve doesn't give compliments to like anybody. And when we wrapped, he said, Pamela is so special. And I was like, she really is.
True story. I also went and tracked down all of my pictures of June 26, 2015, when we were standing next to each other when Obergefell was decided.
Aww.
That was cool. Pamela, me, and Elizabeth Wydra.
There we go. Yep. There's a trifecta right there.
Those are the Supreme Court in June 2015 versus the Supreme Court today.
Really?
Two slightly different institutions.
A lot's happened in 7 years.
A lot has happened in 7 years.
Well, listeners, I have no idea who our next guest will be. I have no idea if we'll be back again, but
we'll probably
come back at some point.
We got some podcasts coming down the pike. You know, once the book is in, some time should free up.
I don't know, maybe.
But as always, we appreciate your support. If you have thoughts for other guests or topics, we'd love to hear them. InLocoParentsPod@gmail.com, @InLocoParents on Twitter, @InLocoParentsPod on Instagram. Karen is @KSVESQ. I'm @Steve_Vladek. I don't know what else we got. So I'll just say, try not to get this cold that I have because it kind of sucks. And otherwise, happy parenting.
Bye, y'all.